Today's broadcast is funded in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, a state agency.
In sports, Illinois coach Bruce Weber hopes his team is worked up as it heads to Penn State about both its loss Sunday to Michigan State and its recent embarrassing defeat by the Nittany Lions. Weber says the 23rd-ranked Illini have a lot to play for in Thursday's regular season finale. He says another win and a high Big Ten finish could get his team a good NCAA tournament seed. That could mean playing games close to home rather than across the country. Penn State has even more to play for at 20-9 and 9-7 in conference play. The Nittany Lions are trying to play their way into the NCAA tourney. Penn State won the last game against the Illini 38-33. Eastern Illinois opens Ohio Valley Conference Tournament action tonight in Tennessee, where the Panthers will take on Austin Peay. It's a rematch for the teams. Eastern lost 69-54 on Thursday at Austin Peay in regular season play. The Governors hold an 18-12 lead in the all-time series. The Bulls are in North Carolina tonight to take on the Charlotte Bobcats. Charlotte has pulled within 3 games of Milwaukee for the 8th playoff spot, but there are 3 teams between them and the Bucks, including Chicago, which is 1 game back. The Indiana Pacers face the Sacramento Kings tonight in Indianapolis. Tonight's game comes after Jarrett Jack scored 28 points Sunday night to lead Indiana to a 100-94 win over the Denver Nuggets. Troy Murphy had 22 points and 18 rebounds in that win. The Blackhawks will try to avoid a 6th loss in 8 home games when they play the Anaheim Ducks tonight. And the Detroit Red Wings will look to recover from their most lopsided defeat this season when they face the St. Louis Blues tonight. Nashville beat Detroit 8-0 on Saturday in the Red Wings' worst defensive performance since a 9-4 loss at San Jose in January of 2007. St. Louis, meanwhile, has had a run of success, logging a 6-1-1 record in the last 8 games. That's sports.
Today's programs are made possible by the Farmer City Antiques Merchants, presenting the 15th Annual Farmer City Antique Show on Saturday, March 7th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 8th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Blue Ridge High School in Farmer City. More information is at 309-356-3902.
Over the next couple of weeks, students across Illinois will be taking the Illinois Standard Achievement Test. The result can have a major impact on schools. Those with lower scores could be subject to more government oversight and a potential loss of funding. That means schools are working to make the tests as important to students as they are to administrators. Illinois Public Radio's Jenna Dooley reports.
To concentrate hard and think about the words, and we want to hear you today. So is everybody ready?
Yeah. All right,
it's boot camp at Glenwood Intermediate School in Chatham.
I don't know, but I've been told. We are just as good as gold.
The school is using the boot camp theme this year to get students excited about taking the state's standardized tests. Principal Carrie Cox says the school is trying several methods to get students ready.
And some kids, it's not a big deal. They love something different in terms of a testing situation. But other students, it does make them a little nervous with it. So we've talked about different ways to stretch, deep breathing, relaxation strategies, and emphasize that these are things that you can use throughout your life, not just during this type of situation.
For years, most students strive to do well on high school exams like the ACT, while standardized testing at lower levels rarely meant additional preparation. Peg Kruger is the principal of Lincoln Magnet School in Springfield. She says she decided a couple of years ago that the approach to getting students ready had to change.
With the No Child Left Behind, when that started, there was a kind of a feeling of fear about some of the assessments and the consequences that would result as because of them. And so we started thinking, okay, this is a terrible experience for all of us. Let's try to make it, since we have to do it, it's an expectation. Let's try to build some fun into it. Probably about 6 or 7 years ago, we really started focusing on that. And within each year, we write ourselves notes of ways to make it even more fun.
The ISAT tests are based on the Illinois Learning Standards, developed by teachers and professionals in the field. Given to 3rd through 8th graders, the tests are mandatory. Schools are asked to meet increasing levels of progress. This year, 70% of students should score well enough to meet the state standards. Those that miss the mark could face sanctions that include a loss of money. Matt Vanover is a spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Education. He says more schools are trying out ways to pump up students for tests, from pep rallies to trivia nights. But he says actually all the preparation is done throughout the year.
Anytime a student is in that classroom, they are preparing for the test because the tests are based on the learning standards, and the learning standards are what the teachers are teaching to.
That hasn't stopped criticism of the way testing is done. All students, even those with special needs and limited proficiency in speaking English, take the same test. Some in the education community argue the shoehorn approach to testing is flawed. There's also complaints over the emphasis placed on tests. The Illinois Education Association, the state's largest teachers' union, says while they can be a good gauge of student achievement, there's more to learning than just a couple of days of intense testing. Cinda Klickna is the secretary treasurer for the IEA.
We've watched students who are really pushed into doing all of the items that are on the test, and yet there are a lot of things that are important to a student's well-being and well-rounded education that aren't on the test, such as the arts. And we just want to make sure that schools are offering a well-rounded curriculum for all students so that they can pursue whatever interest they have for their future.
But as long as the rules are in place, schools will have to follow them, and that means getting students enthused. Peg Kruger at Lincoln Magnet School in Springfield says while teaching math concepts and language structure, it's also important to the basics of standardized testing.
Fill in the bubble. Yes. We felt like we almost had to practice that with kids because they're used to doing some online assessments and things like that. And this one is still paper and pencil, yes.
We're not scared.
I'm Jenna Dooley.
You know that we're all prepared.
I said.
It's 2:47.
Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and
the Shaker Prayer, Simple Gifts. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. One of photographer Raymond Beale's most recent books is an examination of the Shaker way of life and why, long after its passing, it continues to fascinate us. Once there were 20,000 Shakers. Today there are just a handful of Shakers living in New England. This collection of photos and text is titled The Shaker Life. The photographs in the book were made at the Shaker Village of Pleasant Hill, Kentucky. Ray Beale, who makes his home in Urbana, has published more than 100 books for children and adults, and I'm pleased to have him as my guest this afternoon. Good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you. I'm very pleased to be here.
Why does the Shaker life continue to fascinate us?
Yeah, well, it is amazing. As you said, there are only 20,000 members, yet it was the most successful utopian society or community in the history of the United States. And I think it is because the Shakers were so creative. They didn't intend to be creative. They sought simplicity, as the song stated, and a certain utilitarianism in their life. But there was also a certain grace, a certain beauty that's reflected in the architecture, in the furnishings, the furniture in their homes, simple Shaker oval-shaped boxes, also their inventiveness. They were just an amazing people, and they left us with many gifts.
Yeah, and they sought perfection here on earth as a way to attain a spiritual heaven.
Yeah, even if you're not religious, I think people have this quest for to be fully realized. And the Shakers, their founder, Mother Ann Lee, said, "You know, put your hands to work and your hearts to God." And people emphasize that sense of perfection in their work. Thomas Merton said the Shakers created would make a chair with the full belief that an angel might actually come and sit in the chair. So they sought just, you know, absolute beauty in their work, not material things. So they were freed from that. The whole idea was to find satisfaction in one's work, and in doing so, they would bring heaven on earth.
Yeah. As you visited Pleasant Hill, Kentucky, the Shaker Village there, did you find yourself imagining what it would be like to live in such a manor?
Oh, yes. It's a very aptly named place, Pleasant Hill. It's set in the rolling green hills of eastern Kentucky, not far from Lexington. And it's just the sense of serenity. Whenever one goes there, it's like a retreat. You can actually stay in the buildings, the same buildings in which the Shaker families lived. They call them dwellings instead of homes. And it was a wonderful place to photograph because I could get up well before sunrise, grab my camera equipment, go out and take photographs at the sunrise, photograph throughout the day inside the buildings and all around. There are very clean lines to all the buildings there. The Shakers believed in natural light, so there are lots of big windows and skylights. They had a real sense of light and fresh air, and you could photograph in the evening. So you actually find yourself kind of, you know, immersing yourself in the place.
Yeah. Now, as a photographer, I would guess that you share that love of light. Did that enter your thoughts as you made these photographs?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a photographer's dream. Many other photographers have been drawn to the Shakers for the same reason, because of that sense of natural light. It's very easy to make wonderful photographs because of the simplicity, the clean lines of all of their objects, the furniture, oval boxes that I mentioned earlier, even the buildings themselves. There's a certain economy of line that appeals to photographers too.
Yeah. Also, it would seem that they were very cognizant of where they placed their buildings in relation to one another.
Well, that again is their being very practical, the sense of utility. They wanted the workshops near where people were living. There were schools there for children. So they're very practical people.
Yeah, that's also a nice thing to have done for you photographers who've mm-hmm. come all these years later, because they make such beautiful compositions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have to, you know, you can go from different angles and photograph the buildings. The cover photograph shows a couple buildings next to each other, but there's a nice white rail fence in front of them. And it's very easy to compose photographs there. They're almost like putting pieces of a puzzle together. But they, with the Shakers, everything seems to fall into place very naturally.
Almost too easy for you, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say it's easy, but this was one of the more pleasant photo assignments I've ever had.
Yeah.
It wasn't getting up early in the morning and driving 50 or 100 miles to go somewhere. It's nice to just walk out of one's room and start taking photographs immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. They, as you mentioned, they advocated simplicity. Did that guide you in writing the text and organizing the photographs?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted this book to be something of an introduction to the Shakers. The first book I did about the Shakers was called Shaker Home. It's been long out of print, but there's still a lot of interest in this in the subject. So we did this book with the University Press of Kentucky and just simply called it the Shaker Village. Wanted it to be an introduction for people who didn't know a lot about Shakers, but I also wanted to have all those nice touches in there and I worked the text very carefully. It's a brief text, but it includes very nice quotes from various Shakers about their life. So I wanted to capture the essence of Shaker life. And the press did a beautiful job printing it. They printed it on acid-free paper and cloth binding and added all those touches, too. So the whole idea was also to honor the Shakers and their simplicity.
Yeah. Nice collaboration between you and the press. You were accompanied by your wife and children.
Well, we began this quest as sort of a family vacation. I often, when my kids were younger in particular, tried to blend family vacations with photo assignments and discovered the Shaker Village and traveled there on a spring break, I think, the first time. And we loved it because when the weather's still a little chilly up here, as it is now, the daffodils are blooming down there. And it was very pleasant, so we could all stay together there, and I could go out and photograph early in the morning. Nobody got up at sunrise except me. But after a couple hours of shooting, I could join our family for breakfast there, and then they'd go look at the horses and other livestock there, and I'd be photographing the buildings, and we'd get together for dinner and so forth. So it was a nice way to blend a family vacation with a photo assignment. That made it particularly pleasant for me.
Yeah.
Plus my daughter, Anna, who's all grown up now, but she chuckled when the second time we went there, I parked the car, climbed out, and immediately started taking photographs because it was just beautiful light. And she mentioned this is the one place that, you know, where her dad traveled that he, you know, just couldn't wait to start taking photographs, mm-hmm. had to just begin immediately.
When the kids were little, the first time you went, what was their take on this way of life?
Well, they loved it because they were just, in general, when I asked a friend about the Shaker Village before we ever went there. I said, well, what do you do there? And you bring a book to read, you know, you can look around, enjoy yourself. And he said, well, nothing. You do nothing. And it's the sense of a real retreat that you can really enjoy yourself and relax and do nothing. And the kids, you know, they just liked being outside. It's kind of set away from the cities. It's a little collection of buildings there. So you do have a sense, like the Shakers felt, that they are away from what they call the world's people. And there were a few animals there. There were cats and horses and some other livestock, so they could entertain themselves there in a pond with ducks and so forth. But they got into that spirit of just relaxing and enjoying themselves. There were no telephones, as I recall, no televisions, you know, nothing electronic for kids, and but they enjoyed themselves. Oh. You can take hikes in the woods. You can do all kinds of things. So we just kind of, you know, lived in the moment and really enjoyed it.
Did the Shakers believe in recreation and leisure?
Well, they spent a lot of time. The song you played earlier, they would consider that their recreation, singing and dancing. They got the name Shakers because they would shake when they're dancing. They were like the Shaking Quakers originally. So they enjoyed that. They certainly enjoyed good food. There's an old saying about shaker your plate. That means to clean your plate. And they ate well, good food, and they ate heartily. So they shakered their plates often. So they would have a lot of social activities. They would do a lot of reading. They would have discussion nights and so forth. And they, you know, they played games. They had frolics like other people did.
Yeah, something to think about in our day and age, huh?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
There we have to wrap it up. We're out of time. Ray Beal, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Photographer Ray Beal has been my guest in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. One of his most recent books is an examination of the Shaker way of life. It's called The Shaker Village, and it's published by the University of Kentucky Press.
Earth and Sky.
A large and ambitious seed-saving program aims to safeguard the future of global agriculture. Earth Sky spoke to Carrie Fowler of the Global Crop Diversity Trust.
In the next 2 years, we're going to rescue from extinction about 100,000 unique varieties of agricultural crops.
Seeds include rare varieties of wheats and grains, among others. Plant breeders combine the genetic traits of different crops to create varieties that are resistant to heat, drought, and pests.
We can't assume that agriculture will simply be more and more productive because we want it to be more productive. We have to do something to make it more productive, and the best, most efficient, greenest way of doing that is to use the natural diversity that really exists.
Fowler said currently these seeds are stored in unstable conditions. The new seeds will be stored in seed banks, including the Svalbard Global Seed Vault, known as